Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Television Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. My name is Sarah, and actually this is a special episode because I have been watching a lot of Christmas movies. And, you know, I thought that I would pop on and talk about Christmas movies because I have been watching them on mainly Netflix at the moment. We don't currently have cable in my household, and so I've been watching a lot of Netflix movies and thought, hey, Television Podcast talks about Netflix. I could jump in there and talk about my Christmas movies. And, you know, Keith may do a Christmas episode at some point as well, but chances are good that we're not watching the same Christmas movies, because I've never met a Hallmark Christmas movie that I didn't like. The cheesier, the better. I will watch every silly, cheesy Christmas movie ever put out. It doesn't, well, there are a few that I won't watch. I mean, my cheese level does actually hit a point where I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to turn this off. But normally, it doesn't matter how predictable. I know the couple's going to get together at the end. I know they're going to go through conflict and there's going to be a big misunderstanding. But the Christmas spirit always wins out and Santa Claus usually shows up somewhere. And I just love cheesy Christmas movies. And I will sit and watch them whenever they come on. So this year, since I don't have the Hallmark channel, I know, I've been using Netflix to get my cheesy Christmas. They're not all cheesy. I shouldn't say that. When I say cheesy, I don't mean it in a derogatory way. Let me just point that out. I say that with all the love in my heart that I have for Christmas movies. So I'm going to talk about three Christmas movies that I have watched in the last week on Netflix as I have been going about my daily routine and, you know, sliding in Christmas movies here and there. The first one that I'm going to talk about is one that a lot of people have been talking about. It has been watched. Oh, I saw a statistic. I'll have to look that up in a minute. Like, just a ton. I don't even remember. It seemed like a lot in the first week that it was on Netflix, and that is The Christmas Chronicles. Now, I kept hearing about this, and I kept seeing I guess I did see one trailer for it. I wasn't exactly sure what it was about. I knew that Kurt Russell played Santa Claus, and part of me is like, Kurt Russell's not old enough to play Santa Claus, and then I realized that that's just showing my age. So Kurt Russell is Santa Claus. So this is a Netflix original, and it came out this year. It's an hour and 44 minutes, and it's described this way on Netflix. After accidentally crashing Santa's sleigh, a brother and sister pull an all-nighter to save Christmas with a savvy, straight-talking Saint Nick. That doesn't tell you a lot. It's accurate. So the brother and sister, Kate and Teddy Pierce, have been going through a rough patch, their family, and you find this all out in the first 10 minutes or so. There's a montage. It's called The Christmas Chronicles because their parents made videos every year of Christmas. You really find this out in the first little bit of the movie, and their parents were very big into Christmas and did the whole decorating thing and did videos and everything. But their father, who was a firefighter, was recently killed in a fire. And so there's a lot of drama going on in their family, obviously, as they deal with that grief. The son, Teddy, is a teenager and he is getting into a lot of trouble. The daughter, Darby, is trying to hold things together. Their mom works a lot of nights, and so she ends up working Christmas Eve. Darby, the daughter, Kate, the daughter, Let me just say, Kate is played by Darby Camp, and Teddy is played by Judah Lewis, in addition to then Kurt Russell being Santa Claus. They decide they're going to try to catch Santa Claus on film, and they have the video camera that their parents have been using since their births. Shenanigans and antics ensue. They end up crashing Santa's sleigh. I'm not going to tell you how. You have to watch it. And then they have to help him rescue Christmas. As I was watching this, it reminded me a little bit of the Santa Claus, the first Santa Claus movie. And it also reminded me of Adventures in Babysitting, the original that came out in the 80s, not the reboot that they did on Disney a while back, which I haven't seen. But if the original Santa Claus and the original Adventures in Babysitting had a baby, I feel like it would be this movie. I don't know if anybody else would get that vibe, but this movie was a lot of fun, and I didn't go into it with really any expectations, I go in loving Christmas movies, and I was hoping it was good because I love Kurt Russell. I've watched him my whole life in various things, and it was a lot of fun. I think this one would definitely go into my annual Christmas rotation. I have movies that I watch every year in addition to the just random ones that I watch on television every year. Kurt Russell as Santa. Once I got over the fact that Kurt Russell's not old enough to be Santa, of course he is. He is great. He's not sort of your fat, jolly Santa that you sometimes get portrayed. He's not that sort of iconic or stereotypical Santa. He isn't fat, and he keeps complaining that people keep describing him as fat. He's sort of more your cooler Santa, right? You know, I mean, he is Santa, and he's got the big white beard and the big mane of white, whitish, grayish hair, but he's not that cherubic, pink-cheeked, bowl full of jelly tummy kind of Santa. No, he, like the description on Netflix said, he is straight talking. The first little bit, you know, with the montage and everything was fine. When you were dealing with the family drama, I didn't like either of the kids very well, and maybe I wasn't supposed to. I wanted to like Kate better, and actually I grew to like her more. I don't know what it was about her that bugged me just a little bit. I didn't dislike her. She just, I don't know, there was something about the way her character was written, or maybe the way she was portrayed, I'm not sure, but at first she bugged me, and maybe she was supposed to bug me. Maybe this whole grieving family dynamic is supposed to be a little off-putting at first. The brother, Teddy, is a real jerk. I mean, he's definitely dealing with his grief through anger and acting out, and he's being terrible to his little sister and terrible to their mother. All those typical movie teenage things that happen, but typical for a reason. I mean, everyone acts out their grief differently, right? And Teddy's happens to be acting out through anger, through negative means of gaining attention. And it works out in some ways. I mean, the negative means of gaining attention, he steals a car in the very beginning, and his sister catches him and videotapes it. She's got a video camera. It's the Christmas Chronicles, and blackmails him into spending time with her on Christmas Eve. But then it all works together because he and Santa actually end up sort of stealing a car later, and then there's a whole high-speed chase with the police. There's a lot of really sweet and very funny moments in this. I laughed quite a bit, and I enjoyed once the story got going and we got through the, ugh, you know, dad has died, we're a grieving family, things are crappy, which you have to get through in order for the story to have that foundation, then I really started to enjoy the characters more. I loved Kurt Russell as Santa. I thought he did a great job and brought kind of a slightly different perspective than you may or may not always see with Santa Claus movies. So, if you haven't checked out The Christmas Chronicles on Netflix, if you are one of the few people who haven't, because it sounds like it was watched a lot its first couple of weeks on Netflix, you should definitely check it out because it's a lot of fun, and it is, I would not count it as a cheesy Christmas movie. Again, I remind you, cheesy is not a bad thing in my vocabulary, but it's not one of those sort of cheesy, it's not a cheesy romantic Christmas movie, if you know what I mean. There's a difference between, it's definitely child-oriented and It's a lot of fun. Like I said, for me, if the Santa Claus and Adventures in Babysitting had a baby, it would be this movie. So you should definitely check it out. I also want to talk to you, as we're talking about Christmas movies, Christmas books on Audible. I mentioned before that I also host the book review podcast, and I did a couple of episodes last week talking about Christmas books that I love and Christmas books that I will read over and over again over the years. I spend a lot of time, you know, I like a theme, and so during December I like to read Christmas stories and I like to watch Christmas movies. Well, I don't have as much time as I used to. I commute a lot and I'm working a couple jobs, so to be able to listen to Christmas books on audiobook is awesome. If you haven't tried Audible, you should. You can get a free month when you sign up. Just go to audible.com/GSMC television or text GSMC television, all one word, to 500-500, and you can get your free month. And with your free month, every month you get an audiobook. You get a credit for an audiobook. So when you sign up, you get to try it for free for 30 days and you get a free audiobook. You cannot go wrong with that. So maybe you want a Christmas audiobook. Last week I listened to two audiobooks by Debbie Maycomber. She writes very sweet, very romantic, very Hallmark-esque Christmas stories, and I like to listen or read her every year. Maybe you like Christmas murders, or maybe you just like, you don't want a Christmas book at all. Maybe you want a regular book, but they have got a huge selection. You can keep your library regardless of if you cancel, and you can cancel any time. So you should definitely check out Audible and try it out. Get that 30 days free, get your free Audible audiobook. You can also, when you sign up, they have Audible Originals, and you get two of those every month. So you get three titles every month, and that's really nothing to sneeze at. So once again, that's audible.com/GSMC television or text GSMC television to 500-500. Get your free trial, get your free audiobook, and just start checking out their selection. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be moving on to our second Christmas movie of the podcast. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Television Podcast, and I will be right back.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Television Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about the Christmas Chronicles with Kurt Russell as Santa Claus, and now we are moving into what I would call my cheesy Christmas movies. It's not Hallmark, because I don't have Hallmark this year, and that's just fine, because Netflix is filling that need very nicely. So after I watched the Christmas Chronicles, I was kind of scrolling through and seeing what was recommended for me, and one that popped up was called The Holiday Calendar. I love advent calendars, and so I thought, hey, I'm going to check this out. It is, I'll just give you the brief synopsis. A struggling but talented photographer inherits an antique holiday advent calendar, the contents of which seem to predict the future. Will this magical calendar lead her to love this holiday season? Again, that tells you it's accurate, but it's not exactly informative, right? Okay, so Cat Graham is Abby Sutton, and Cat Graham I know from The Vampire Diaries. I'm sure she's been in other things, but that's what pops into my head when I think of her. Cat Graham is a photographer. She is currently working in a job that she's not terribly thrilled with. She's taking holiday photos and working for a boss that is he's a little overbearing, a little obnoxious, and she's not thrilled. She would rather be taking different kinds of photos. She'd rather have her own studio. Her best friend comes back from something like 18 months of traveling the world. He's also a photographer, and they've been best friends for pretty much their whole lives. His name is Josh, and he's played by Quincy Brown. So that's how we start. And then we get to know Abby's family. It's a multi-generational family with her grandfather, her parents, and then her sister, her husband, and their daughter. So you've got multiple generations. And her grandfather sits her down right around the first part of December and gives her an advent calendar. It's not like you're thinking of, you know, a little cardboard thing with chocolate in it. It's quite substantial. It's wooden. It's shaped like a house. It's got different doors for every day. And it was her grandmother's. Her grandmother has recently died and had said that she wanted Abby to have this holiday calendar, advent calendar. So Grandpa gives it to her, and she takes it home, and she's confused by it because none of the doors will open, and she thinks maybe it's broken or warped or, you know, something's happened to it because her grandmother bought it many years ago in France, I believe. But her grandmother was convinced that it was what led her to meeting and marrying her grandfather. So there's a story there. Well, it turns out that on December 1st, the first door opens. So, and it has a pair of boots. And she's like, okay, whatever, that's cute. Well, then her friend Josh, who has just come home from his world travels, gives her a gift of a pair of boots that he bought for her in Italy. And so that's where you get the, does it predict the future? Every day, another door opens as though by magic. You can't open it before midnight on that day. And then inside is a little carved wooden figurine of something. So you've got the best friend. You've also got a love interest in a guy that Abby meets with a very particular meet cute that I won't give away, and that's Ty, played by Ethan Peck. So that relationship is there. You definitely get the idea that Josh, the best friend, has returned wanting to be more than best friends, but Abby is still definitely smack in that friend zone, not seeing anything, kind of enamored with this new love interest. So this ticks a lot of my cheesy Christmas holiday movie boxes for me. You've got the love interest, you've got the, you know, the best friend angle, you've got family. I love when they have multi-generational families. One thing that I love about this type of Christmas movie is the over-toppedness. That's not a word, but there's an over-the-top element to these movies where it's just Christmas nirvana, basically. It doesn't matter where they live. There's snow. There is, obviously, if they live in Florida or someplace, there's not snow. But, you know, they're always set in these picturesque places. There's snow. There's always groups of carolers just walking around dressed in Victorian wear, singing carols. I don't know. Does that happen in your town? Because if it does, that's awesome. I have never been just walking around doing my Christmas shopping and had Victorian carolers come up and start singing in perfect four-part harmony. If that's happened to you, then maybe you live in a Hallmark movie or a Netflix movie, but a Christmas movie. There's everyone's always dressed so impeccably in their adorable, like, winter coats with matching hats and scarves and gloves, and everything is just decorated within an inch of its life. Everything is just perfect, right? So the houses are decorated beautifully. The insides, you know, the outsides have the Christmas lights. Inside, they've always got the tree and just beautifully decorated. I think that's partly why I like them, because it is so counter to many of our experiences. You know, we decorate. Not everyone decorates, but a lot of people decorate. We don't all decorate to the extent that they decorate in movies like this, right? But I think that's what I kind of like about this, is just that, and you know, there's sweaters and there's layers and there's snow and there's carolers, and it's always just so idyllic and beautiful and not exactly the way we experience the holidays, but we can escape into a movie and kind of, even if you're rolling your eyes, sometimes I roll my eyes at the sort of perfection of it. The plot is not always perfect because there's always conflict and there's always something that's going to happen. And of course, I'm not going to tell you what that conflict is here, although I'm sure you can guess some of it. But there is, it's, it it's always a little deeper than what you predict at the beginning as to be the conflict, and that happens here. Abby has to figure out what's going on with her life. What is she going to do? How is she going to make her dreams work? What does she want? Her family, her parents are worried about her being a photographer as a career. They're not sure it's safe. Her father and sister are lawyers, and they work together in the same firm, and her dad keeps saying she can come work at the firm. I don't know what doing what. I mean, I don't think she's a lawyer. Maybe she went to law school, and I just missed that part of the some sort of opening montage. But oh, there's a montage too. So that always, you know, is fun, as because you can't show every day of December. So there's a period where it just shows the day. And, you know, she looks in behind the door and sees what the little figurine is. Fast forward to what happens that day that associates with the figurine. So you get that musical number with all of the scenes kind of moving the plot along, moving the days along, and getting closer to the conflict and the drama and the resolution. There's also, you know, her niece is adorable and goes to a school where there's Christmas programs and a silent auction, and everything is always just lovely, right? Do you find that to be the case? I don't know. I do. It's time to move on from the holiday calendar, which I don't think it would go into my I must watch this every year, but it was very cute and I enjoyed it a lot, and I loved the intergenerational aspect of the family, and like I said, all of the over-the-top perfectness of the Christmassy stuff. Speaking of Christmassy stuff, I mentioned Audible before, and I'm going to mention it again. As I said, I have been listening to Christmas books on audiobook. I mentioned Debbie Maycomber, and I am currently listening to The Christmas Quilt by Cheverini. If you just put in The Christmas Quilt, you'd find it. And it's part of a series. It's actually fourth or fifth in the series, about a woman named Sarah and a woman named Sylvia, and they quilt together. Sarah learns to quilt from Sylvia, and there's much more than that. There's some historical fiction aspects of it. There's some women's literature aspects of it. But I have been listening to that. That's my current listening on audiobook, and I can't wait to commute tomorrow morning so I can listen to it again. But my point is that if you go to audible.com/GSMC television or text GSMC television to 500-500, then you can start your free trial. You can get one free audiobook, and it's like a little early Christmas gift, right? Give yourself an early Christmas gift of a free Audible audiobook. Go to audible.com or text Excuse me, go to audible.com/GSMC television or text GSMC television to 500-500 and check out their library. Find a book that you want to gift yourself, or if you have someone in your life who loves books but is finding they don't have the time or who likes to listen to them, whatever, you can give the gift of listening this holiday season. Give yourself a gift, give someone else a gift. It's all about the the giving and the sharing of the love this holiday season. So audible.com/GSMC television or text GSMC television to 500-500 and start your free trial. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about our third and final Netflix Christmas movie of this episode. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Television Podcast, and I will be right back.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Television Podcast and this Christmas episode. So finally, the third Christmas movie from Netflix that I am going to talk about is one that came up then after I finished the holiday calendar and was, you know, flipping around. And they're like, because you watched the holiday calendar, you might want to watch X, Y, and Z. So the Christmas Chronicles, which I talked about in the first segment, and the holiday calendar, which I talked about in the second, both were out this year, 2018. This third one came out last year, so you may have already seen it. It's called The Christmas Wedding Planner. And wedding planner Kelsey Wilson is about to have her big break, planning her beloved cousin's lavish and exclusive wedding. Everything is going smoothly until Connor McLean, a devilishly handsome private investigator, shows up and turns Kelsey's world upside down. Hired by a secret source, Connor quickly disrupts the upcoming nuptials but wins Kelsey's heart in the process. That's actually a little bit more descriptive than the first two and gives you a very good. So Kelsey is the main character. She is, as it says, a wedding planner. Her big break is that this is the first wedding that she has planned. She's trying to get her business off the ground. She is planning her cousin's wedding. Her cousin comes from a fairly well-known, well-off family, and so this is a big break for her. Kelsey is played by Jocelyn Hudon, H-U-D-O-N. It's like Hudson, but without the S, so I'm not sure how you pronounce it. And then Connor is played by Stephen Huzar. So Jocelyn Hudon, H-U-D-O-N, and Stephen Huzar, H-U-S-Z-A-R. Whew, interesting. Doesn't matter. So it's Kelsey, her cousin Emily, who's played by Rebecca Dalton, and then Emily's mother, Kelsey's aunt Olivia, played by Kelly Rutherford. So we open up with, and throughout the movie, Kelsey is sending texts explaining. So you get a lot of commentary and a little backstory and a little, you know, what's going on in Kelsey's head from these texts that she's sending. To whom she's sending them is not revealed until much later, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but she's sending these texts, and she's planning this wedding that's supposed to be perfect, and her aunt is very, very, very particular about how things have to go, and she expresses her disapproval and her disappointment quite freely. So there's that aspect. She gets along with her cousin very well, and they're very close, almost like sisters. So there's definitely family relationships playing a part. And then, of course, Connor shows up as a private investigator saying that he has been hired to investigate Todd, who is Emily's fiancé, but he will not say who hired him, and he will not say exactly what he suspects Todd of. Eventually, they think maybe Todd is just after Emily's money, but they're looking into it, and Connor tries to convince Kelsey that she should join him in the investigation. Yeah, this was, like I said, my least favorite of the three. It still checked a few of those boxes. You know, there was romance. There was that sort of over-the-top cheesiness. There were fabulous coats and decorations, Christmas decorations everywhere, of course. I had to suspend my disbelief a lot more on this one. There were a lot of things that I was like, okay, I'm not really sure that the writing was that great, and definitely had to suspend my disbelief, especially toward the end. I kept talking out loud to the television, and I don't want to tell you what I was saying because I don't want to give things away. But yeah, I talk to the television all the time, and no one ever listens to me, so I don't expect you to listen to my comments that I made to the television. I won't bore you with those, but I didn't hate it. And, you know, I'm not saying, dang, I just wasted an hour and a half or whatever it was of my life watching this stupid Christmas movie, because I could have just turned it off. It wasn't bad enough that I wanted to turn it off. I was just busy doing some other stuff and watching the movie as I was doing things. So it wasn't bad background. And I think the best thing I can say is that I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. I was kind of neutral. It was not... Like I said, I will pretty much watch any cheesy Christmas movie. Doesn't mean that I'll watch them more than once. And this was one of those where I was like, yep, okay, I watched it. It was cheesy. It gave me Christmas music and Christmas themes and got me in my Christmas movie fix. And that's cool. But I really don't feel the need to ever watch it again or have anybody else watch it, which sounds really bad. But it's not terrible, and I'm not saying don't watch it if you love Christmas movies. Go ahead. Just know that you might have to that you might have to suspend your disbelief a little more than some, and know that you have to suspend your disbelief on most cheesy Christmas movies. There's a lot of that going on with the suspension of disbelief. But this one, in some ways, even more so than usual. So, yeah, I can't really recommend it, but I'm not saying that you shouldn't love it or watch it if it's your cup of tea, because everyone has different tastes, and I'm not here to tell you what to like or dislike, just what I think. I think it's time for me to stop talking to you about Christmas movies and to let you go watch your own. So thank you for joining me for the GSMC Television Podcast, this special Christmas movies episode. Join us again on Wednesday when Keith will be back and talking about all of his top television choices. So thank you again and have a wonderful Christmas.